Talk with Maria Bailey. Join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. From the cradle to college, Maria and her expert guests offer information, tips, and tools to make the busy lives of families easier. Now, here's your host, Maria Bailey.
So, we're in the first full week of October. It's been, wow, it's been such a interesting fall season already. We had the red moon and Halloween's on its way, and Target's already got Christmas and in their stores. I mean, I don't know about you, but fall has sped up, and in some parts of the country it's already getting cold. You know, I ran a marathon last weekend and it was 38 degrees at the start of the race. That was right on the border of New Hampshire and upstate New York in a really quaint little town called Schoon Lake. And first of all, this girl from Florida trained on the beach where it's flat. And there are mountains up there in upstate New York, that's for sure. And I learned the hard way. Actually, I learned the five-hour way that there are a lot of hills. But what was really exciting about it was that I actually, that was my 26th marathon, and it was my son's first marathon. We ran together, and it was having your son by your side running through the mountains all by yourself, because it was a kind of a small marathon, so we were by ourselves most of the way. And it was just amazing, just an amazing experience. And if you're a mom thinking, gosh, you know, my kids are getting a little older, I want something to do, try marathon running. Although my son was like, Mom, why in the world is this your sport? I don't understand it. But this weekend actually is another family weekend for us, celebrating my daughter's 22nd birthday. My oldest child turns 22. That's way too old for a young person like me, but I'm very proud of her, and shout out to Madison Bailey for her 22nd birthday. You know, she's one of those kids that has no fear of traveling by herself. And, you know, often they say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Well, this apple dropped right below the tree, because she just has no fear of going anywhere in the world. She wants to see the world, and she doesn't care if people come along with her or not. The world is her oyster, as she says often. Anyways, we're all proud of our kids, and even though they cause us a little bit of heartache along the way, they are so worth it. But hopefully, during the next hour, we're going to help you avoid those heartaches and avoid those challenges by bringing you some really great authors and experts on just an array of different subjects, from eating to anxiety to dyslexia. We've got them all, and we've got experts you've seen on Good Morning America, The View, and they're joining us here today on Mom Talk Radio. So when we return, we're going to bring up our first speaker, Bonnie Wallace. She is the author of The Hollywood Parent's Guide. She speaks and writes and teaches workshops, and she's going to be here on Mom Talk Radio.
Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
We are joined today by a woman who probably can answer a lot of questions you've always been wondering about, particularly if you have a child who's into performing. And I happen to be one of those moms. And because I've never done it before, I'm always scratching my head going, okay, what do I do next? You know, and she sends me links to auditions, and I'm like, huh, what? This is alien to me. But Bonnie Wallace is the author of The Hollywood Parent's Guide. She speaks, writes, and teaches workshops to help parents help their children become a professional actor. She's the mother of Dove Cameron, star of Liv and Maddie and Disney Descendants. She's dedicated her her professional career to helping other moms like me try to navigate our world through drama. So welcome, Bonnie, to Mom Talk Radio.
Oh, thank you so much. It's great to be here.
So my first thought is, how do you even know? You know, it seems like every child wants to end up on TV or act. And how do you even know if your child is talented if you truly try to be objective with your child?
That's a great question. And it's hard, I think, you know, because a lot of kids like to just play around and entertain their parents and entertain their friends and, you know, do stuff in the living room. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they really belong, you know, in front of a camera.
Right.
I think you have to trust your gut instinct to a large extent. And, you know, parents, when we're really, really honest with ourselves, we know if our kid has, like, really unusual talent or if they're just, like, having fun like kids do. But then beyond that, I think you have to watch the kid to see if it's consistent. Like, is this something that they're doing because they're in love with it right now, and then next season it'll be something else? Like, now they want to be a princess, now they want to be a mermaid, now they want to be an actor. And then if it's consistent, it's like something that doesn't stop. It's something that they're really completely obsessed with. Like, they're reading about it. They're following along the professional aspects of it if they're old enough to do that. Then if you get them involved in classes and they're actually doing some classes and some workshops and maybe some actual acting, like they're auditioning and getting roles, then they end up with some mentors. And if the mentors are also saying, you know, this kid's really got something, you should pay attention to this. That's what pushed me over the edge. And that's where I feel like, okay, outside objective opinion is also confirming my instincts here. I think it's good to have all of those things.
So do you have to live in Hollywood for your child to get roles in TV?
If your kid wants to have a legitimate big career and be on the shows they see on TV, it really helps to live in Los Angeles. You don't have to. There's a lot of stuff being filmed in Atlanta, for example, or Vancouver or whatever. But the thing is, where is it being cast? And so, you know, a lot of it is still being cast out of L.A. But you can get your child very far down the road, right wherever you are, pretty much. If you're in any sort of a metropolitan area, you can get them experience, you can get them a good track record, so that then if that continues to look like something they should do, you know, maybe they're ready to make a leap.
Let's talk Disney for a minute. So how do you get those auditions for Disney?
First of all, there's a lot of scams out there for Disney auditions, so please, parents, be cautious whenever you see something that calls itself a Disney audition. It may not be. There's exactly one source online for authentic open call Disney auditions where they're just like looking at everybody and trying to discover somebody new. And it's on the Disney Channel website. It's www.disneychannel.com/open-call. That should be on my website, and it's also in my book. But if you're in the L.A. area, your child could get a chance to audition to be a guest star or a regular. But those, you have to be in L.A. to do that, because there's a cast really quickly.
And do they charge for auditions? That's probably the key, right? That you know that they're authentic?
I'm so happy you asked about that. No. If anybody's charging for auditions, run the other way. It's a scam. Disney never charges for auditions, and frankly, nobody legitimate ever charges for auditions. Also, agents don't cost anything. There's a lot of confusion out there. Agents should only make money if your child makes money, and if they do, you know, then they get 10%. That's it.
How do you find a good agent for your child?
I think it depends on the area you're in. I mean, we came from the Seattle area originally, and it's a pretty small market. You know, there's not a lot of stuff filming there, and what's going on is mostly commercials. So there aren't specialized agents like there are in L.A. Like in L.A., there's youth agents, and so you want to get an agent who specializes in kids. But you want to do your homework, like you know, go online, Google, you know, best agencies in your area, and then research them and make sure that they're legit before you go out and maybe get involved with them with your kid.
So, if parents want to get a hold of you, do you offer services that allow them beyond your book to learn from you?
I'm not doing one-on-one right now, but I do have a couple of really, I'm really proud of them. I think they're very solid online workshops that are available on my website. One is for people who are starting completely from scratch. Like, they have questions about headshots and resumes, like very, very basic stuff. And then the second one is much more in-depth, and it covers pretty much everything, including schooling options in the L.A. area for young actors. And safety and all kinds of stuff. So those are both on my website, which is HollywoodParentsGuide.com.
Well, really good stuff. And even if you don't live in L.A., I mean, like you're saying, the most elementary stuff like the resume and the headshots, heck, you know, I'd be willing to learn about that because,
right.
you know nothing and your child suddenly says, Mom, I'm serious about this. And they send you links every day, you know, you got to start somewhere. So we have a link to HollywoodParentsGuide.com on Mom Talk Radio. Bonnie, thank you so much for starting the discussion. And I'm sure there's moms listening right now whose wheels in their head are turning and going, okay, I need to learn more about this. So go to Mom Talk Radio and click on HollywoodParentsGuide.com. Thank you so much, Bonnie, for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio. And when we return, we're going to turn the spotlight onto one mom who's blogging at simplykinder.com. We're going to hear what she's doing there. And before we break, let me just tell you about Mom TV, the place that you need to go online to when you want to see what we're doing here on Mom Talk Radio. We have videos for and by moms, everything that you can think of, all the subject matter that relates to a mom, everything for how to feed your child, to product reviews. We have hundreds and thousands of mom bloggers who have reviewed products there. So if you're thinking about a stroller, go to Mom TV. If you're thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know how to prepare for back to school season, go to Mom TV. We are the place, your video destination online, where you can find and watch information that is relevant to you as a mom. It's a great place, and we hope you'll join us on momtv.com. I am excited to have on our Spotlight on Moms segment today a mom that is doing pretty amazing things. I met her a few years ago and have remained in contact because she was such an amazing mom. She is got a website called simplykinder.com. You can follow her on Twitter at simplykinder. She has two children, 8 and 2. Her name is Jennifer, and she's joining us today to talk about what she's doing online. So welcome, Jennifer, to Mom Talk Radio.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So you're a veteran teacher with a lot of credentials. And when we met, you were doing so many amazing things online that I like your website is just filled with useful information for moms. So why don't you talk a little bit about it and what moms will find there?
Absolutely. So my website is simply Kinder. I am a teacher of 14 years. Most of them were in kindergarten, and I actually was placed in kindergarten randomly. And I remember when that happened, all of my friends were like, oh my gosh, Jen got kinder. She's going to be so upset. And I just fell in love with it. The kids are just so genuine and so fun. They say the craziest things all the time that just make you fall in love with them more. So I love that age range. And so I was just looking for a way when I started my website to connect with people on a broader level. And I'm just so blessed and fortunate that over the years it has taken off like it has. So my website basically focuses on teaching ideas, but a lot of it does, you know, apply towards parents at home. One of the biggest things that I had happen was my own child was struggling to read, and I realized, oh my gosh, there is such a need out there for these struggling readers. And so I've tried to interweave some of that into my content, so how parents can work with their kids at home and how teachers can, you know, do certain activities to help those struggling readers.
As someone that spent a lot of time with kindergartners, do you have a feeling or an opinion on screen time?
I kind of have have a differing opinion than one might think being a teacher. My 8-year-old is dyslexic and has anxiety disorder and all sorts of, issues that, we didn't anticipate him having as he grew up. And so for him, having screen time has actually been a huge blessing. I put a physical book in his hand, and he gets so anxious and so overwhelmed, and he doesn't know what to do, and the words start moving all over the page. Mm-hmm. I put an iPad or, his leap pad in front of him, and that has books on it, like an app that has stories on it, and he's, like, instantly engaged. So for me, having a struggling child as a reader or a reader who's struggling, I personally prefer to put the technology in his hands,
right?
Just because it takes that anxiety off. It makes it fun for him. My principal one time asked me, she's like, well, what's the difference? And I'm like, I don't know what the difference is, but you can see right in him that he has zero interest in, physical books, but you put technology in his hand and it's like it lights right up. Like he will sit there and read his little reading app for hours at night.
So it just goes to show that you have to, as a mom, know your child. I want to make sure that we're going to have to part ways, but I want to make sure that we get this in your website into the audience. It's simplykinder.com, and there you can learn so much about Jennifer and everything she's doing, and you can follow her on Twitter at simplykinder, and there are a lot of ideas and thought starters, and as you can tell by Jennifer, she is very enthusiastic with parenting and children. So thank you, Jennifer, so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. And we'll have to have you back so that we can talk more about the experience of raising young children. I want to mention that our sponsor is Premama. Now with Premama, you can get drinkable infertility, breastfeeding, prenatal vitamins. It's all in a powdered form. Everything that you need to keep yourself and your baby healthy through all stages of motherhood. And you can find that on the shelf at CVS. And you can go to Target.com as well to find it. Or you can go to drinkpremama.com. There you'll find everything Premama, and you can thank them for sponsoring Mom Talk Radio. When we return, we're going to turn our attention to adoption and the love of a mom.
Helping you succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
I am delighted to have on Mom Talk Radio Gail Harris. She's an award-winning writer and teacher on the intuitive process. Her latest book, Finding Zoe, A Deaf Woman's Story of Identity, Love, and Adoption. It was co-authored with Brandy Russ, and she is here to talk with us from her hometown in Massachusetts. And I am delighted to have Gail on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Gail.
Thanks, Maria. Great to chat with you.
So intuition, some people may have it and not realize that they have it. Sometimes we don't know what's talking to us from the inside. Will you talk a little bit about intuition, what the intuition process is, so that we can relate to the topic?
Sure. It's my favorite topic to talk about. I think that we all have intuition, not just some of us, but I think you're right when you're saying that some of us may not think that we have it because we do tend to be cut off from it. It's our, what is it? Our intuition, it's really information that comes to us from a different means or a different channel, different than our intellect. It's really that inner voice that guides us toward personal fulfillment. It's this inner voice that when we follow it, we will have a fulfilling life. It will allow us to be the best person and have the best life. And it guides us. It's like an inner intuitive guide. Nobody can guide us in the way that our own intuition does. And it's really about having a relationship with our best self.
And so does intuition play a part in parenting?
Yes, any parent could know that, you know, we use our intuition all the time as parents. It's really second nature. You know, I mean, no book is going to tell us what our child needs in any given moment. You know, of course, gather the facts, talk to other parents, talk to other moms, get advice. I mean, that's extremely helpful. But the bottom line, you know, if your child calls you into his room for a glass of water at night after you put him to bed, you're the one who's going to know whether he's really thirsty or needs to be comforted. You know, you'll know it. You'll know it in your heart. You'll get a tingling up the spine. Our intuition speaks to us in many different ways. And it's trial by fire, you know, when we're a parent. There is no guidebook that's going to tell us about our unique child. It's our own Trusting is a big word about this. It's just trusting our own inner knowing about what our child needs.
So a lot of people, I don't know, there's sometimes when I feel like I can hear my intuition more than I can at other times. How do we get in tune to it?
That's so true. I mean, sometimes it speaks to us loud and clear, and sometimes we have a hard time hearing it, especially when it's telling us something that we don't want to hear. A good way is to really develop a practice of learning how to get quiet, because it's, you know, they don't call it the still small voice for nothing, Maria. You know, it's that inner voice, and the first thing we need to do is you know, just go to a quiet place and drown out, you know, to turn off that other, you know, the outside chatter that comes within. And, you know, people ask me for tips all the time, but I could give a couple of tips, but I'd say the most important thing before even, you know, saying do A, B, and C is to really connect in with your intuition that lets you know why you need it so much. You know, it's really a way of life rather than just doing A, B, and C. But I mean, what I would say is, you know, if you want to just get started today, go to a quiet place, turn off the, you know, things that are going on outside you, close your eyes, take a walk, even just close your eyes if you're in your office or if you have screaming kids in the next room, do what you can. If you need it, you know, take a break and ask your intuition a question. You know, if there's something that you have a decision that you have to make or something that's like on your mind a lot, just ask your intuition, ask it a question. You're asking your best self that question, and then wait and see what you get. You know, you can't push this, you can't force it, you can't rush it. As you said before, sometimes we just can't our intuition, but we have to have like an open stance, invite it to come in, and you will get your answer. And you know, you never know where you'll get it. You can get it through somebody telling you something and you say, ah, that's my answer. You can get it by reading a billboard when you're driving in your car. You know, your kid could say something. You never know where it's going to come, but just trust that your intuition will tell you exactly what you need to know when you're open to hearing it.
And we only have 2 minutes left, but what, tell us in like 2 minutes or less about the book and what we might learn from reading the book.
Oh, sure. Well, the title of the book is Finding Zoe, a Deaf Woman's Story of Identity, Love, and Adoption. It's actually my co-author's memoir, and I wrote it for her. And it's her personal life story. She is a deaf woman, a former Miss Deaf America, and but it's told through a very particular spiritual perspective. So it was a really true collaboration, and it really shows how what seems horrible up close is beautiful from a distance. You know, when we have difficult decisions that we have to make, this little girl, Zoe, who is her daughter who she adopted, she was in 4 different homes by the time my co-author Brandy and her husband adopted her at 8 months old. This little girl so easily could have ended up in the foster care system, but no, she ended up in the best home for her, because so many people made a tough choice by following their own intuition and guided this little girl to where she belonged.
Well, it sounds like a beautiful story that will definitely be something that we all want to pick up and read. And you can find out more about Gail if you go to GailHarrisAuthor.com, and we have a link to her on Mom Talk Radio. Thank you so much, Gail, for sharing your story with us today. I appreciate you. And we'll have to have you back. Thank you so much. When we return, we're going to turn our attention to a gentleman who is actually in the world of engineering, and we're going to find out how he's brought that to life with children.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
I'm always excited when we have a dad on the show, you know, because in a male's voice, because it's Mom Talk Radio. But you know what? Our content goes so far beyond just moms. There's lots of dads out there who listen, and I hear from them often. So I'm excited to have Mark LeBrot with us. He has a bachelor's and a master's degree in mechanical engineering from MIT, and he holds 4 U.S. patents and is currently a pilot for a large U.S. airline. So how does he bring all of that into the world of kids? Well, he has authored his first children's book called Buffy Meets the Zoonicorns, and he is going to tell us all about that. So welcome, Mark, to Mom Talk Radio.
Hi, Maria. Thank you for having me. First off, I have to say that I'm not a dad. I'm an uncle. So
okay,
that, to clear that up right off the bat.
That counts as well.
Okay, good.
Yeah, you're still invited to be here today, and I'm kind of excited to hear about this. Okay, uncle, pilot, mechanical engineer, and now child's book author. Like, what in the world? I don't know. Like, how do those things connect?
It's kind of a long and twisted road. As you mentioned, I've got an engineering background, and part of that engineering background, one of my first jobs out of college was as a research engineer for a large Fortune 500 company. And I just kind of found engineering and invention to be, it's a very creative process where you just kind of let your mind fly and try to think outside the box and try to notice connections and things that might make sense. And I'm a firm believer that everybody has multi-million dollar ideas all the time.
Right.
And they
right.
just don't recognize it
right.
and kind of latch onto it.
So let's talk about how you're pursuing that million-dollar idea. Tell us about the book and the children's toy line.
The whole concept for the Zoonicorn started years ago with a conversation I was having with a friend of mine. And this concept of a combination zebra unicorn being cute, pudgy, big eyes, short, stubby horn, like these young, almost toddler to kid-sized characters popped into my head, along with the spelling of the name. And I always thought that, you know, there's a children's property here. There's a children's characters and idea here somewhere. And I just kind of always tuned my brain into what different avenues could this happen on? How is this world going to fill out? And I waited. I knew I wanted more than just the characters. I wanted a good backstory. I wanted good characters to go with them, something that isn't just a one-trick pony, something that would educate kids, bring in parental involvement, kind of harken back to the days we grew up where it was a concept of open play, you know, just letting your imagination run. Go ahead.
Oh, no. So I was just wondering, so what is the storyline of the book?
The storyline of the book, Buffy Meets the Zoonicorns, is a young bison who's having some issues. Let me take a step back. The whole concept of the Zoonicorns is they're creatures that exist in the dreams of young animals. When that young animal's having an issue growing up, the Zoonicorns visit, they go on a dreamland adventure, and whatever life lesson or story lesson is to be learned in that particular story, they learn along the way in that dream. Buffy Meets the Zoonicorns is about a young bison, and we try in the different stories we're developing to use some not typical animals that people are used to seeing in stories and et cetera. So it's a young bison who's having some issues with listening to her mom, wanting to do things with family, you know, playing with her cousin, having a meal with her uncle, and she just wants to be left alone.
How do you come up with these ideas?
They just kind of pop into my head. And then it's just a matter of recognizing, you know what, this is a kernel of an idea. And then you just start, it's brainstorming is a skill. It's a skill that can be honed and taught. It's a matter of part of that skill set is not judging ideas that pop into your head right away. But hold on to them. Write them down. And then see how they might mix with another idea you might have in 18 months.
Right, right. So and where can people go to find the book or find the toys?
The book is available on Amazon.com. And the book and the plush are also available through my website, Zoonicorn.com.
Okay.
www.zoonicorn, and that's Zoonicorn.com.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I want to make sure that everyone knows that we have a link to Zoonicorn.com on Mom Talk Radio. There you'll find it. And good luck with the books and the toys, Mark, and congratulations on all your success. So thank you so much for being with us today. You know,
great. Thank you for having me, Maria.
Thank you. As we move into October, I have to tell you that the candy corns have already been open in our office. And have you noticed all the bizarre flavors of candy corns out there this year? I saw peanut butter candy corns. I saw some more candy corns. Now, I don't know about you, but candy corns are candy corns. They're not supposed to be pumpkin flavored. I mean, how much pumpkin have you seen out there already? This is actually the worst flavor of the year. Pecan pie M&Ms. Oh my gosh. We tried them in the office. Totally bad idea. So email me or text me or tweet me at Mom Talk Radio and let me know what is the worst new flavor of an old candy that you've seen this season as we're going into Halloween so that I can avoid it and I don't have to purchase the $4 bag of M&Ms to discover that pecan pie should remain pecan pie. So when we return, we're going to go from pecan pie to Dr. Harold Katz. He is going to be here to talk a little bit about sore throats and how we can keep well this season. Seen him on Good Morning America, The View. He's even gotten to talk to Barbara Walters. Now he has to settle for me, Maria Bailey, on Mom Talk Radio. But he's Dr. Harold Katz, and he is here to talk a little bit about sore throats, the upcoming winter season and flu season, and what we can do now to keep our children and ourselves healthy. So welcome, Dr. Katz, to Mom Talk Radio.
Oh, thank you for having me. The topic of sore throats is very timely. School has started and kids are sick. They come home and get their parents sick. Then the parents get the grandparents sick, and then no one's happy.
That's right. And then it just cycles through the house. And that happened to me last week. I was like, oh, I finally caught what they had. So what are some tips to help us prevent this from happening and to stay a little healthier this year?
Well, we know that sore throats, they're caused by bacteria. It's called the Strep pyogenes bacteria. Don't worry, there's no final exam today, so you don't need to write it down. But these bacteria enter the mouth. They breed in the back of the tongue. Then they get into the throat, and that's when they cause inflammation and sore throat and strep throat. And they can even cause that middle ear infection that is a mystery to many parents. They wonder why their kids' ears hurt. When you look inside the ear, you don't see anything. And that's because that starts inside the throat. It doesn't start doesn't start coming in through the ear. So what we've learned is the way to get rid of these bacteria is actually to keep your mouth as clean as possible. And the reason that's important is because that's where the infections start. So one of the simplest things that we discovered is change your toothbrush when you get sick. You want to make sure there's no bacteria reinfecting yourself, because many times what we unfortunately do is use the toothbrush that we use when we were sick and then keep giving us the same bugs over and over again.
Oh, that seems so logical. So what about when we first get that sign of a tickle in our throat? What is it that we're supposed to be doing?
Well, many people use the lozenges. Now, it's very important to keep your mouth as moist as possible. That's what the lozenges are supposed to do. They contain zinc, which is very helpful. But if they contain sugar, you're defeating the whole purpose. Sugar feeds all types of bacteria, and you don't want to make them any healthier than they already are. So look for sugar-free lozenges or ones which have xylitol in them. Xylitol is an excellent antibacterial. It's a natural compound. That's great to do. And talking about keeping your mouth moist, just drink more water. Plenty of liquids is good. That's what the chicken soup is for. You want to be really moist inside your mouth. The bacteria hate a moist mouth. They love a dry mouth. And that's why people who smoke a lot, who drink a lot of alcohol, those are drying agents. Those people end up with more sore throats than anyone else. When it comes to children, you have to make sure they drink properly. They stay hydrated. Obviously, they're not drinking alcohol. They're not smoking, but they should drink plenty of water. It's just a good way to start a good habit throughout life.
And so there's a whole bunch of, like, myths that we all hear about, like placing an aspirin in your throat, which
unfortunately many people think, well, it's an aspirin, it's a pain reliever, I'm going to stick it on the part of my throat that hurts. Well, aspirin doesn't work that way. Aspirin works when you swallow it. It works through the system, and it's not a topical. So sticking an aspirin on an infected area actually can burn a hole in the oral mucosa, because aspirin has a lot of acid in it, acetyl salicylic acid. So swallow that aspirin and let it do what it's supposed to do. But another thing that we find is when people sleep at night, they can reinfect themselves by inhaling the pillow, which has microbes in it. A study done in Europe recently that I came across said that one little neat little trick is take the pillow and pillowcase and stick it in the dryer, a hot dryer, and that will kill off some of the dust mites, which are harboring a lot of these bacteria.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So now, where can moms go to find out more information or maybe recommendations that you might have?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we have a website. It's therabreath.com, therabreath.com. Tons of information on how to keep your mouth as healthy as possible. We also have a new book out, The Bad Breath Bible. It has lots of information there about a healthy mouth. So if listeners want a free copy of the book, along with some of the TheraBreath products, which will keep your mouth healthy, they can call my office. It's 800-557-6960, 800-557-6960. I'd be very happy to send it out and make sure everyone has a healthy mouth.
Well, we have a link to TheraBreath.com on Mom Talk Radio. Thank you so much for joining us and trying to keep us all healthy as we move into the holiday season. And I want to thank you, everyone, for listening to Mom Talk Radio, giving us some of your time this week. And we hope that we're going to see you again or talk to you again next week. You can always tune in to Mom TV, where you can actually see me, and tweet me at Mom Talk Radio. Thanks, everyone, for being here this week. See you next week.